verse 1 says, then Jonah prayed to his God. Things are changing. Personal God. From the belly of the fish. I read that today. It's like the limbo artist. How low can you go? Right? Jonah's just gone down to the most distant, desperate point in his life. He is so far from God in his head. He can't believe he ended up here. Jonah is being used by virtue of his disobedience. He's also in big trouble by virtue of his disobedience. Do you not love a God who takes you and I in our disobedience and says, I can still work with the raw material of my creation because he's good? That doesn't mean you disobey to get him to act. It means you're very, very thankful when you make mistakes that he's always acting on your behalf. I was coaching at a school called Folgerwood, my first teaching job. As a coach and a player, I like to win. Thank you for the first slide. Yes. Yes. Wasn't that beautiful? Come on. You're just so happy we torched the Americans. It was beautiful. I know. We create these incredible binaries. I love the fact that they won. But unfortunately, in our current political angst, and I'm not going to tiptoe around it, I'm just going to be honest, it's awful. It's awful. I'm at breakfast with the boys. They're all ranting about the political situation. And I got an idea in my head. I said, well, I know you don't like that president, but he's done something brilliant that in 20 years of Canadian history, no one's been able to do. You know what he's done? He's united our country. And I love it. And that really silenced the crowd on Wednesday morning. I love that. No one knew what to do with that. It was awesome. But the champions also brought a beautiful unity. And if you're not careful, you'll live in the binaries of bad guys and good guys. You'll do it in your soul. I'm a bad person. God doesn't like me. Oh, that's a holy person. Wow, they're a spiritual giant. They're great. You'll create that binary. You'll go, we're good. Our southern friends are not virtuous. And you'll create that binary. You'll go to the Middle East and you'll create all your little teams. You'll go to Europe and do the same thing. You'll go to Russia, you do the same thing. But the Bible's not about good guys and bad guys. It's about a deeply wounded, problematic humanity. And there's one good. And Jesus says it very well. Why do you call me good? There's only one good, God alone. And the presupposition when he tells that very rich, very young, very powerful young man, there is no one good but God alone, he's saying to him in real time, are you calling me God? Because you're right if you are. Powerful moment. Jonah is being used in the midst of his disobedience. So I'm back at Folgerwood coaching. I love the big win. And I'm not a good person when we're losing. I'm glad I married my wife. One day we're playing a card game. She goes, wow, you're a poor loser, eh? Don't you just love truth, my wife? Grace and truth. Wow, you don't lose very well. So I got mad and proved it. Anyway. Well, ironically, I'm coaching this game, and there's a guy on the other bench. You guys know what running the score up is? It's what Philadelphia did on Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and our friend, what's her name? The Swifty person, Taylor Swift. We're going to go with Taylor Smith. Taylor Swift, they ran up the score. They torched him. I loved it because I wanted Philadelphia to win. So this guy's running the score up on me, and he torches our team. Normally, I would get very angry. Very angry, and I'd walk up to him in the handshake line and go, listen, and fill him in, right? These are grade 8 kids. What are you doing? For some reason that day, I simply said, great game, buddy. Appreciate that. What he didn't know is behind everything I do is I had a mom and a dad who prayed. Right? I love Jonah 2:1. Then Jonah prayed. I wonder what your then is. What's the thing in your life where you finally enter into the prayer cycle? So this man looked at me and he said, "Sorry, I ran up the score on you." I said, "Dude, you know what? Your kids were playing so well. I was able to celebrate them today. And I know my mom and dad were praying for him because I could be such an obnoxious, angry coach." And it was just beautiful when Steve Morrison said, "Hey, you want to go to my house for supper tonight? I got some time." Other coach just crushed me. I'm kind of humbled. I'm okay. Might as well get some food out of this. We have a meal. His wife's there, his kids. We engage. I saw him again skiing. And 22 years later, I got an email 2 weeks ago. I got an email. Angry, obnoxious coach. Don't forget this. And Steve says this, "Dan, I'm not sure if you remember me. I was impressed with your coaching at Folgerwood Basketball. I invited you to my place after dinner, and we also bumped into each other at Glen Eden, the ski hill. My name is Steve Morrison. I was reminiscing the other day and about our encounter at our house and the impact you had on my life. You kind of mentioned something about your Christian beliefs, and I think it was your Christian beliefs and the way you lived with such a positive attitude that impressed me that day. Anyway, I surrendered myself to Christ in my retirement. Would love to catch up sometime. Just wanted to thank you for the mustard seed you sent so many years ago." It had nothing to do with an angry, obnoxious, "I have to win all the time, poor loser." It had everything to do with a white-haired old mom at 4 o'clock in the morning. My mom was old-fashioned, so my mom would kneel down at 4 o'clock every morning. And I saw her Bible, and I saw the names. You know, my name was there, my family, Wayne Gretzky. She loved praying for athletes. My mom knew how to pray for winners. And my dad, every time I drive up on Sunday, I say, "Hey, Dad, can you pray over me?" You should hear him pray. It's beautiful. This morning, two people came up and said, "Hey, we feel it's really important to pray over you today." Yeah. I don't know anyone that'll refuse a prayer. I don't know anyone who will refuse a prayer. Rather than the criticism and the vitriol and "I hate him and I hate them and I can't believe he said that and I can't believe she did that," how about get this phrase coming out of your mouth and mine way more often? "Can I pray for you?" Right now. Then Jonah prayed. It's amazing. Then Jonah prayed from the belly of the fish. He's just so low, he decides, "I better engage the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." The word prayer in this particular context, it's a beautiful phrase. It says, the Bible, the meaning in the lexicon says, the Bible is deeply intertwined with covenant relationship between God and his people, emphasizing prayer, emphasizing the themes of repentance, thanksgiving and supplication. It also conveys seeking divine intervention or judgment. It reflects a deep sense of dependence on divine guidance. At this church, we don't have a declaration of independence. Our declaration is dependence on the only God who can change your heart and mine, our city, our nation, our world. So Jonah's in the place of disobedience where God uses him. Some of you are in another place of isolation and pain, and it's because of your obedience. You can be very distant from God because of your disobedience. You can also get attacked by forces of evil because of your obedience. Joseph is just trying to do what his dad tells him, and he ends up in a pit, in a prison, slavery, and his life looks really, really rock bottom. God redeems it all, and when his brothers are fearful that he's going to bring retribution on them because of his obedience, Joseph understands, and he looks at his brothers and says, "Don't be afraid. What man intended for evil, God intended for good, for the salvation of many." Bring it, Noah. I am hearing some amens from the Lindor crowd. What man intends for evil, God bends out for good for the salvation of many. Is this church going to go through some problems?
Yeah,
big time. Because God's starting to speak to people. And when it does, you watch God bend it out for good to the salvation of many. May I pray for you. Let's have that as a beautiful theme, a counter theme. When we hear people speak, whatever they say, let's pray about that. Let's bring that to the throne of grace. Job is probably the best example. He loses everything. If you read the narrative, Satan comes right up to God, mocks him. You put a hedge around him. He only serves you because he's blessed. And because of Job's obedience, it says he was a righteous man, blameless in his time. And Satan says, just take the hedge away and see what happens to him. He will curse you to your face. And God says, go for it. Go for it. Flocks, fields, family, gone in an instant. Just feel that for a second, friends. The pension is gone. The pension is gone. The income, gone. The family, gone. The nice piece of property, gone. Reaction, Job? Prosecute 9. Tears clothes, sackcloth, dust. And it says he worshiped the Lord. Everything is taken away and he worships God. And he says that beautiful phrase, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He lives with open hands. Has God filled your hands up? Good. Use it for his glory. But keep them open because he might take some of the stuff that you're hanging on to a bit too tight and he might take it away. Jonah's got nothing. Job had nothing. And sometimes you can only discover that Jesus is all you need when Jesus is all you have. It's a beautiful moment in the life of Corey Ten Boom. And she's talking to Chuck Swindoll. And Corey's got her hands like this. And she puts her hands out. And her fingers are all nice and tight. And she says to Chuck Swindoll, "Chuck, I want you to understand that if you hold on to things really, really tight, it's really painful when God might want to just remove some of that. So keep the hands open and live with open hands." And what happens to Jonah is Jonah, as a prophet, P-R-O-P-H-E-T, gets aligned with the king and the kingdom, and he becomes a P-R-O-F-I-T. Happens all the time in ministry. God gives you an opportunity to speak his word, to prophesy his truth, to speak over people. When we open the word of God, God speaks to you. That's called prophecy. But so many prophets try and P-R-O-F-I-T and they become a prophet. And we've seen that. One of the things I thought about is disobedience, pray. Obedient, pray. Stay in that center of broken praise. Jonah does not pray in chapter 1 at all. In chapter 2, he prays. Some of the things, I'm going to call these the problems with prayer, is some of us have an idea that there's only one perfect way to pray. And we've created an assumption of perfection, or this is how to pray. When you read the Bible, and now we got the internet, you can literally Google, "Please give me the references to every prayer in the Bible." You'll get them all. You want to learn how to pray, my friends? Pray the words a scripture. And when Jonah prays, every single line in that prayer is a quotation of a psalm. He's got it all memorized. Peter, as he's sinking in the water, just screams, "Help, Lord!" Boom. Quick, desperate prayer. Jesus, before he goes to the cross, has this long, beautiful priestly prayer. What are your prayers? Two words, 1,000, or you're just listening. It's important to practice prayer. I thought about the pontification of prayer, talking about prayer all the time, going into our prayer voice. Oh, Lord God of the infallible spheres. And we have this prayer voice, and sometimes we go into performance in prayer, and you can hear God saying, "Why do you talk to me like that and no one else?" I thought about the product of prayer. Sometimes we have expectations on prayer. We ask for something. We treat God not like a father, but a pinata. So here's what I want. You smack the pinata and you hope something comes down. The product of prayer should never, ever be focused upon, but the person of prayer is your focus. My mom experienced a lot of pain in prayer, but in her patience, she died at 74, but she prayed every day for the family. And much of what she prayed for in my life, 20 years later with you, is happening right now. There's a favorite verse of mine in Ecclesiastes. This falls under the performance of prayer. It says, "Don't be quick with your mouth. Don't be hasty in your heart to say anything before God. God is in heaven, you're on earth. Let your words be few." Jesus picks up on that and says, when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words and vain repetition. Go to your secret place, your closet. Prayer is private and public. This weekend, public. Come, pray, important. But please spend most of your time in prayer in private. And you can also pray with friends. I remember when I was at Bible school learning and trying to get into the disciplines of prayer, and we just all wanted to be super spiritual. So my friend Tim, who I was rooming with at the time, I'd get up at 5:30 and I'd go ride my bike into this mountain and pray, and that was my thing. And it was hard, but I got pretty good at it. But at 5:30, I'd get up and I'd go for a ride, and Tim would get up. I remember Tim would be kneeling down at his bedside. I'd kneel down and pray and then leave. Tim would kneel down. After a while, you know, as a student, you just get exhausted. So I started I just got tired. So I kind of didn't want to tell Tim I was tired because I wanted to show Tim that I was super spiritual. So I would get up, kneel down, and pray, and then go out, ride to the end of the field, and then go find somewhere to lay down and crash because I was exhausted. So one day in a moment of confession, I said, "Tim, I'm a Pharisee. I got to be honest, man. I've been waking up and pretending I'm praying just to show you I'm a great Christian." Tim's amazing. He goes, "Dan, I love you, brother, but truth be told, as soon as you left, pal, I jumped back in bed and I went to sleep every time. Thanks, pal." So there's this sense of you don't need to perform. But we create those norms in Christian culture. The place of prayer, I thought about, you know, it's in secret. The posture of prayer is low. But more than anything, I was listening this week to a beautiful meditation on Psalm chapter 1. The Psalms, if you ever just want to learn how to pray, is just pray through the Psalms. But the first Psalm, chapter 1, has nothing to do with praying. It has everything to do with preparing your heart for prayer. Blessed, happy, to be envied, living the dream, is the person who meditates on the law of God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when you get into this preparation for prayer, not barging into the presence of God, if you were ever invited in front of any diplomat, president, prime minister, king, queen, you would prepare. I want to talk about the place of preparing for prayer. My friend Ahmed, who I go on the boat, my Muslim buddy, he always prepares, washes. And he showed me the length of time spent preparing for prayer is often more than the time spent in prayer. preparation of prayer. We're going to talk about this. We're not going to rush through this whole prayer thing. It's such a big, beautiful subject. But then Jonah prayed, and verse 2, I hope you can have that in front of you. Verse 2, we're just going to dial into. If you can find Jonah 2:2, Isaac, and throw that up, that's up to you. But be nice for people can see that. It's probably buried somewhere, Kathy. But Jonah says, I called out to the Lord in my distress. His is the distress of disobedience. Job is the distress of obedience. Wherever you are today, close to the Lord, feeling attacked, pray. Distant, because of your own disobedience, pray. And then there's five incredible words that I just lit me up this week. Verse 2 says, I called out to the Lord in my distress. He answered me out of the belly of the fish, Sheol, and you, God, heard my voice. All right, here they come. Called out is kara, distress, tsara, answered, ana, cried, shava, and heard, shema. I exploded. Because it all rhymes. It's meant to be memorized. Jonah's got it all locked in, and it's kara, tsara, ana, shava, shema. Please indulge me. I have to unpack these real quick. We're just going to do one verse today. Hang in there. It's amazing. I don't apologize because this is way too rich. I called out. The verb kara, to call out, means to proclaim or call or name something or someone. Brit, this is how you pray. It's just rapid fire shotgun, calling out, crying out, name of God. Here's what I'm asking for. Beautiful. You've got this kara style of prayer. I love it. To call or proclaim, naming someone. Proclamations were important in communal religious settings where messages from God or leaders were declared to the people. So there's a declarative note in prayer. Don't you love the fact he's in the belly of a fish? And one of my research assistants, where did I put them? I got a little piece of paper today of an article, believe it or not, someone recently in the good old USA just got swallowed by a fish and they spit him back out. So it's possible. Don't recommend that. Children, do not try this yourselves at home. Eat the Lindors. Don't let a fish eat you. Bottom line, when he says, I called out, this is a real God speaking to real people in real time. Real people speaking to a real God in real time. Is that your posture of prayer? You're speaking to the Almighty. Kara, beautiful. In my distress, I'm stressed. That word is tsara. Kara, tsara. That word, distress, trouble, affliction, adversity, pressure. Man, the Greek word is just stenochoria, distress, and you can take it, anguish. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus cried, tsara, from the cross. Jonah always, ever points to a greater Jonah, who spent 3 days in the belly of the earth, who rose again to rescue you and me. Tsara. Next one, we're on third one, we're getting there. And he answered. Oh, I love this. He answered. He answered me out of the belly. That's ana. He answered. I want to park here just for a second. I need someone who's got a big, loud voice who can make this work very quickly. Peter. Is there a Peter in the place? Peter. Again? That's what I wanted, because I knew he'd get it. When you cry out to the Lord and you call his name, I'm here. Stop expecting your answer to your prayer and receive the answer, which is God's presence right now in your life. He answers with his presence. Isaiah says, when I called out to you, you said, I am. I'm right here. Isn't that beautiful? Jonah cries out from the belly of the whale, and he answers. Lowest point, disobedience. Lowest point, obedience. God says, I'm present. I'm present. Did you have a good week? God's with you. Is your week been awful, and you want off the planet? God's with you. He answers out of the belly, as low as I got, and I cried, Shava. Oh, amazing. Oh, did I get this right? The Hebrew word anah, I missed something really cool. The Hebrew word anah means to answer or to respond, give testimony. Oh, this is so good. It says, anah means give testimony, to help the afflicted and the humble, or even singing. He answered, and that word anah means to sing. How many of you sing your prayers? We drive up for 2 hours or an hour and a half every week, and people say, oh my goodness, Dan, you've got that long, terrible drive. We get the music on, Carrie Underwood's amped up, Travis, Randy, and we sing our prayers. I know most of you woke up this morning and you read Zephaniah 3. Anybody know who Zephaniah is? Even my ethno scholars are like, Zephaniah, been a while. I got to be honest, I haven't studied Zephaniah in a long time. I don't have a clue who it is, but guess what Zephaniah says in 3:17. You got to remember this verse, gang. I wrote it down three times. It lit me up like a firecracker. Anah means to sing. The Lord your God, here it comes, proclamative. The Lord your God is living among you. He's a mighty Savior, not you. You can't do anything without him. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness, with his love. Please, someone get this into your soul. With his love, he will calm your fears. He will rejoice over you with singing joyful songs. It's so good. He sings over you. He sings over you. The Lord your God is in your midst. We used to sing this at camp as kids. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. It's got to be a bit Elvis-like, right? He will sing, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will quiet you with his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. When you wake up tomorrow morning and God answers you with his very presence as he sings over you, I got a revolutionary idea. Why don't we just spend time in the presence of God and listen to him singing over us? I don't even know what that would feel like, but I want to. The Spirit of the living God just fall afresh on me. And listen to that beautiful singing voice. Isn't that amazing? Something to walk in. He cries out, it says, in desperation. He cries out, he shouts. That's the word shava. We won't spend too much time on this. It's the act of calling upon the Lord. It's deeply rooted. When you call upon the Lord, he will deliver you. And this is Jonah's biggest problem. He knows if he preaches in Nineveh, there going to come to God, and he does not want that. Right? The hockey game starts. You don't want the USA to win that hockey game. You would be angry. That's not our team. There's no teams, friends, in the kingdom. We're one team in the kingdom of God. And it's amazing how the next, it says, he heard. Oh boy, this is a whole sermon. Sorry, gang, just hang in there, please. And he heard, it says, he heard, he answered me, anah, out of the belly of Sheol, he cried, Shava, and you heard my voice. Guess what the word heard is. And you biblical scholars are going to light up. You want fireworks? Guess what that word heard is. Shema. Shema. Who knows what the Jewish Shema is? Please tell me someone knows that. You've heard of it. Yeah. Yes. The Shema, God hearing Jonah. The Lord our God is one. Thou shalt worship the God alone. I'll read it for you. It's so good. The Shema. Hear, O Israel. Here is Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, soul, might. And Jesus adds, your neighbor is yourself, even the Americans. That includes your leadership. All your soul, all your strength. Jesus says, this is the law. God hears you. Are you listening to him? I'm going to finish with this and then we're done. I got a friend named Richard. Very bright scholar in Seattle. Loves apologetics to bring people into Christianity through reason and defense. He's good at it. And he takes them on hikes up these forsaken mountains that are too high and kind of crazy. And they go on weekend hikes. So there's a young girl who doesn't know the Lord on the weekend hike, and he immediately tries to build the relationship to let her know what's going on. Some Christian, some not. It's going fairly well. And she finally says, listen, I know what you're trying to do. My dad is a doctor. My mom's a biological professor. We are people of science. We are not interested in your God. I'm here for a hike. Thank you very much. Don't talk about this anymore. Every time they get in the Bible study, she removes herself. But he's a good guy, so he's nurturing, he's kind. And then there's the last night, you know, you picture it, the fire's going. What are they singing? It only takes a spark. Help me out. To get a fire going. And yay! Soon all those around will warm up to its glowing. And those of you who don't know that, that's fine. Beautiful old 70s song. And there's this feeling of joy, and people are talking about the Lord and to the Lord, and she again is over here, alone. And finally, Richard's desperate. He's done all the talking he can. He's tried to poke the bear and help, and he just sits down, and he doesn't say anything. And she bursts into tears. And he said, are you okay? She said, Richard, you brought us to a 360-degree view. And I looked at the ocean. And I looked at the snow-capped mountains. And I looked at the stars. And I said, this cannot happen. This cannot happen apart from someone majestic. She got the glory in his silence. You want to do something in prayer this week? Just sit in silence and say, Lord, I need the glory. I need to receive from you. He'll speak to you right where you are. The heavens declare the glory of God. Day after day, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet, their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. Afghanistan, Palestine, Russia, USA, God's shouting. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. This lovely girl saw it. She got the glory, and it wasn't the talking. It wasn't the conference. It wasn't the post. She tasted the goodness of God. May that be your experience in real time this week, regardless of what you're going through. Father, we are just so thankful. That you've revealed yourself to us. Lord, put a guard over our tongue when we come into your presence. teach us to listen. Teach us to shema. Teach us to hear. But above all, Lord Jesus, in your face, which finally Jonah wants to get back to, may we see your glory. Thank you. Live in and through us today. We love you. Amen. Y'all come back next week. That was Jonah 1, verse 2. We're taking our time, sorry. But it's too rich to rush through. Too rich. And of course, I don't have a clue what's happening next, so Art, come and rescue me. Rescue me.